Don't you think it's about time to retire roasted winter vegetables? I mean, they've had their moment, but enough. It's time to bite into something that's crunchy and tart and alive. And that's where spring pickles come into play. Exactly what our correspondent David Leet wanted. So he sat down and chatted with Kathy Borrow, author of Mrs. Wheelbarrow's Practical Pantry, Recipes and Techniques for Year-Round Preserving.
Kathy, welcome to the show.
Hello, David. Nice to be here.
So they say that in spring, a young man's fancy turns to love, but I have a funny feeling in spring, your fancy turns to something very different, doesn't it?
It does. When I walk through the farmer's market, I see all those brand new vegetables, and all they say to me is, pickle me. I do refrigerator pickles and quickles, also the kind of pickles that are shelf-stable so that I can enjoy them year-round, and even lacto-fermented pickles like half-sours.
Okay, so let's talk about refrigerator pickles, but tell me, how do they differ from quickles and traditionally pickled pickles?
I have to admit that I think I made up most of this. But for a quickle for me is something that I can prepare and eat within a day or two. And a refrigerator pickle, I consider something that needs a little more time to brine and develop and is kept in the refrigerator and not on the shelf.
Okay, and how long is that time for extra brining for the refrigerator pickles?
It really depends on what you're pickling. Because a pickle requires that the water in that food be replaced by a salty solution or a vinegar solution, through that thing that we used to remember in science class called osmosis.
I remember that.
Right. Some vegetables are more dense, like a cauliflower, and that might require blanching ahead of time and then pickling for 4 or 5 days, whereas small slices of jalapeno might take only a day or two to fully pickle.
And what are some of your favorite varieties of refrigerator pickles? They're nice combinations.
In the spring, I like to pickle tiny carrots. One of the farmers that I know very well here at my farmer's market brings in thinnings from his rows. So he'll have thin little carrots and small scallions and onions and other vegetables that he's pulled from between the others to give them room to grow. So those tiny baby vegetables are beautiful pickled.
Oh, that sounds marvelous. And in the brine that you use, talk a little bit about some of the ingredients, because that can vary tremendously with spices.
Not only with spices, but also with vinegar. I start always with very, very clean, clear, non-chlorinated water. A lot of us have minerals in our water, particularly things like sulfur for people who are working off a well. And those flavors are going to come right through into your pickle. So if your water doesn't taste delicious, buy bottled water to pickle with. Next, I would say the salt is very important. You never want to use iodized table salt because that iodine flavor will come through into your pickles and it will also darken them and it's unreliable. So work with kosher salt or sea salt. And a smaller crystal is going to dissolve more thoroughly. So that's what you want to look for. Next, we look at vinegars. Really, with a refrigerator pickle, you can use any vinegar, although I tend to shy away from fruit vinegars when it comes to pickles. I just can't wrap my mind around
like apple cider vinegar.
Apple cider vinegar I love, but raspberry or strawberry I'm probably not going to use in a pickle.
Okay, strawberry vinegar. Yeah, no.
Right, no. Bad idea. So I keep always plain white vinegar, apple cider vinegar, and rice wine vinegar to use. And sometimes I even use things like sherry wine vinegar or red wine vinegar.
Ever malt vinegar?
I have used malt vinegar. I find the flavor is a little overwhelming for tender pickles.
Okay.
And then we go to spices. And pickling spice is a wonderful mélange, and you can buy that already done in the grocery store, but I prefer to make my own because most pickling spice has, for me, a little too much allspice. So I cut back on the allspice in mine. It's traditional to have yellow mustard seed, maybe celery seed, maybe dill seed, some allspice, some cinnamon, some red pepper flakes. Those are all kind of traditional into your pickling spice, but I prefer to make my own, and I encourage everybody to find out what they like in a pickle and make their own spice.
So talk to me a little bit. I know there's two here that I have been very fascinated by in your book, the sugar snap carrot and radish. Talk a little bit about that.
I love that pickle. In the early spring, it's got all the crunch that you've been missing all winter. I mean, really, all winter long, we roast our vegetables within an inch of their life, and they're wonderful like that. But don't you just want something to crunch?
Absolutely.
So those radishes and those peas, they're quick to pickle, and it's a very nice side dish or even a topping for a regular green salad.
That's wonderful. And there's also a juniper pickled cocktail onion.
Oh, well, just say Gibson.
Right, exactly. Hello. Hello, Gibson.
Hello. Put it on the side of your martini and you have a whole new world there. I pickled those onions for several reasons. I'm a big fan of pâté and a sort of plowman's lunch.
Yes,
I like
me too.
To do that. And the pickled onions that I would buy in the store always had a kind of funny aftertaste. And so I wanted to develop a recipe that wouldn't have that aftertaste and would have more of that really exciting spring flavor of young onions. So this also picks up a little of the juniper from a classic gin because I do think it belongs in a Gibson.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Kathy, it's a pleasure speaking to you, and I think your book is wonderful, and I wish you great luck with it.
Thank you very much, David.
Kathy Borrow is author of Mrs. Wheelbarrow's Practical Pantry, and she left us with a recipe for sugar snap, carrot, and radish refrigerator pickles and juniper pickled cocktail onions. David Leet is publisher of Leet's Culinaria, lccooks.com.